Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A portal opened up in my room where I was facilitating. The first one was spinning, and it was full of pastel colors, very delicate hues, and it was rotating.
My guest is Violeta Stoica, and we are talking about something I think is fascinating, QHHT. And this is something that Dolores Cannon does. And I'm going to let Violeta say it so I don't say it and train wreck it. Handing off to you.
Hi, Wendy, and thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure, and I'm very excited to talk about my favorite subject, QHHT and sessions. To give you a quick story of QHHT, Dolores Cannon, who passed actually a few days ago, has been 10 years since her passing. She perfected this technique of hypnosis that took people in past lives and uncovered their stories from, you know, other times, stories that had relevance in their own lives. And that helped people tremendously. And she wrote about 19 books, amazing books. Convoluted Universe is my favorite. Life Between Lives or Afterlife, Jesus and the Essenes, Nostradamus, Hiroshima, and so many more. The Custodians, which are based on ET cases, abduction cases, and The Legend of the Star Crash, which was my favorite ET book. And she got the message from the higher selves of her clients to start teaching the method because she had so many clients she couldn't see them all. So around 2002, she started teaching this method. My husband, who's an IT engineer, one day found her videos on YouTube and he was very excited. And we started learning around 2007. We were like devouring her information and everything made so much sense to us. And then in a few years in 2010, he came home one day and he said, she is in England. She's going to be in England. She's going to teach a class. You can learn this technique. And I was so excited because I have a background in psychotherapy and I used to be a nurse for about 10 years. So this made complete sense to me to evolve and shift my career into what I really believed in, the metaphysical, which explained to me the mysteries of life, of everyone's life, my own life especially. So I took my level one class with her in England. It was a huge honor to be in her presence. It was overwhelming, to be honest. I remember when she stepped into the room, everyone stood up and applauded, and she was like, ooh, easy with the energy on me, easy. And then the next year I went back and I took my level two. So I got to meet her twice in person. And on my level two, I gave her a hug. I said, I have to give you a hug from my husband because he loves you. She made such big eyes. Yes, and she was such a down-to-earth person, beautiful woman, bright eyes. I admired her with all my being. And she's my teacher, my mentor, my example, even though she passed. She comes in sessions. She gives us messages all over the world, to all practitioners. It's so, so heart-touching. She's watching over us.
Reminds me of Robert Monroe, who was the person who got us all started with out-of-body experiences and astral travel. He's also present in some of the sessions, too. It's like once they become a leader, an instructor, a way-shower, then they show up for their students. And that's what I have heard from other people who studied with Dolores Cannon.
She's ever present, even more because now she is a multidimensional being because she's beyond the veil and she can split herself, her energy into millions if needed to be present in many places at once. And we're very grateful to see her.
You mentioned in the email that I got about your grandmother and learning from her at a young age. I think it was wonderful, that influence that she had on you.
Yes, and I think everything was supposed to be that way. So my parents moved to the city, and they left with my maternal grandparents for about 4.5 years. And I got to watch up closely my grandmother, who was such a delicate and generous soul. She was bright, and she would help anyone. And every time I felt sick or anyway, I had a thing that she didn't like how it went for me, she would put her hands on me, and she would say some incantations, which I have 2 verses from one of them. It's amazing. I saw her at work. She would heal with her hands and the words she would say. And she mentioned Gaia many times. I never could figure it, but I was a child back then. Now I realize, how did she know that name? I never knew where she learned the healing technique, but those worked for me. I felt so protected and taken care of her. And I never realized she was a healer until I became an adult and I started with the metaphysical.
That's what's so fascinating about it, because it was normal and natural for you. And then, you know, you wouldn't have known that that was something that was incredibly unique.
Exactly. That was my normality back then.
The thing that Dolores Cannon was able to do was to connect with other entities through the people that she was hypnotizing. And that's what is very special about this particular technique, is the way it goes beyond our current physical daily drama into past lives and parallel lives. It opens up to a new worldview of our reality.
That is correct. And if I'm allowed to just give you a little story that happened to me in 2014, 2 months before Dolores passed, in 2 different sessions, I saw with my physical eyes while I was actually talking to my client's higher self, because it happened like 2 weeks, one from the other, a portal opened up in my room where I was facilitating. The first one was spinning and it was full of pastel colors, very delicate hues, and it was rotating. And I couldn't believe it, and it stayed there for a half an hour for my conscious mind to believe that it's there. Then the second time, 2 weeks after, another portal appeared, but this was only in gray and black hues, and it was still, it didn't move. And later on in one of my sessions, my higher self explained that QHHT opens up portals for every single client. The difference between the two portals were my first client was very open to accept and receive what it was coming for her through the portal. My second client wasn't open, and the portal materialized, opened up, but my client wasn't ready to receive, wasn't open enough to accept. So the portal was there, but it was closed. It was waiting for my client to activate it through her vibration, which is a natural thing. We don't think of it. I also found out that through those portals are coming energies, information, and entities. It blew my mind when I realized what I saw, and that never happened ever since. I just needed to be aware and tell my clients about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And the thing is that if it happens for someone else, then they can identify it, and it you carry it forward.
Yes, and many clients will see portals in their sessions. Some of them are going through them. Some of them, they just need to be aware that are portals. But what's interesting is this is a consciousness journey, QHHT. The physical body doesn't go anywhere. So it's mostly brought to the client, all the information. They're coming to them, but even from different dimensions, and they get to experience it or them, just like being in there. And sometimes I might not be completely correct, but I think some of my clients might have out-of-body experiences as well, especially the ones that feel, oh, I'm floating over the bed, over my body, because I have those. And it's really fascinating to hear that.
People, think that this is something exotic, that it requires either, you know, a tremendous amount of effort or some kind of practice that you have to do. It can be spontaneous. Each person is unique. And just to be able to go into a session with you and have that trigger, that spontaneous out-of-body experience, is, I think, reassuring that we are more than the physical vessel.
Totally. And it's very simple and it's very easy, because hypnosis is actually a very natural process, phenomenon, that happens to every single one of us every day. Before we fall asleep, right after we wake up, we go through this theta wave. We call it like a transition. That's the deepest trance we go in every day without even realizing, because nobody told us that's a trance. Not to mention driving long distances on routes that are very well known to us and the mind wanders off, or when we do something that we really are immersed in, like something that we're passionate about. And then we go again through a trance. And because you mentioned Robert Monroe, I'm going to tell you something that Dolores herself participated in with him in their institute in New York. They hooked children, adults, and elderly with EEG machines, electroencephalographic machines, to some monitors, and they had everyone watching TV, and they were told, pay attention, complete attention to the TV screen. None of them, no age group, was able to pass 1 minute of completely focusing. They dropped into alpha, which is the shallow trance. We cannot be very focused, because that will burn the brain circuit. We go into a trance, we go into automated pilot many, many moments in the day. This is trance. This is how easy it is to get hypnotized. You don't need a special preparation. Anyone can do it.
You've had sessions with people who sent crystals from different dimensions in order to help us. Could you talk about that? I thought that was a unique aspect.
Yes. So my client, this was a female. She saw herself as a member in a big council. They were seated in a different dimension. She looked different. And around that table, there were many beings from different realities or different planets. They didn't look alike. They had all kinds of shapes and forms and features. And she was one of them. And they were having a council about how to help Earth. And one of the methods they used to do to help humanity was to send crystals to Earth. And those crystals looked like Earth crystals, but they weren't. So she described me how they wanted to send that big crystal to Arizona. Well, note please, I was in Romania when I did this session. The word Arizona came in very naturally through my client. And I didn't ask back then, because I was a newbie. This is an old session. Why Arizona and not other area? But they send the crystal, and the crystal will trick people thinking it's from Earth, but it wasn't. And it would vibrate and amplify certain energies for the betterment of humanity. In other session, another crystal landed somewhere in South America, and a shepherd found it. The man didn't know what he found, but the crystal was from a different dimension, again, to help humanity with raising the consciousness and vibration. So these two sessions were like a few years apart. Same information came through.
And see, that's fascinating. And I had just watched a documentary on Bradshaw Ranch in Sedona, Arizona, and they're talking about a portal that they are able to see there. And this captured on video, and they see the portal, and one of the engineers describes the land, the foundation, and saying it's on top of an area that's full of quartz crystal. And that's one of the activators for, they believe, for these portals. And I think we're putting more of the dots together. Another place I know that's highly paranormally active is Board Camp Crystal Mine in Mena, Arkansas. A lot of activity there. And there's another woman I know who channels, and her information comes through crystals. The beings that materialize or manifest through crystals to her and are transmitting energy, these things are beginning to make more sense. I've programmed a crystal myself to help heal somebody and seen results. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what we are, I think, accessing now requires us to be a lot more generous with our beliefs and our expressions of what we think is true and real and authentic, because it's a much larger playing field than we grew up with, or at least in my area. There's so much more to this, more depth, more dimension, and I think more positivity in terms of what we can look forward to. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, completely. And I'm getting the message even today of using my voice and my knowledge to spread it. It's part of my mission as a human being in this lifetime under this name. And speaking about these things, it's part of my mission. I need to tell people what I believe and what I get through sessions. My guides, my higher self, are urging me to talk about this. So this is perfect timing for this interview. Thank you so much. Actually, it was really a blessing.
That's what I think is also a part of this right place, right time, where people are making connections, being in a place where you wouldn't normally have been, but there's another person that you make the connection with who's also in the same space, the same area, or reading something that has that synchronistic yeah. effect of, wow, this is what I needed. This is where I need to go. And the universe is saying, you're welcome. Here you go.
Yep. The law of attraction, what we vibrate, we attract.
In some of your personal experiences, past life, I like the one that you talked about. And for me, it's like a dual expression, because you were on a ship at the same time as the being that you transported into was in Hawaii. Can you share that one? Because that's another unique aspect, I think, that we can bilocate and become separate individuals.
Oh, yes. Well, a lot of ET beings that are around the earth, they are put in stasis on their own ships, and some of their aspects are sent to Earth. I've seen that in my clients' sessions as well. But in my own experience, it was well before humans lived in Hawaii, and my ship was stationed above Earth. And I couldn't see myself on the ship, like how I looked, but I've seen an aspect, like a part of energy. I sent it down. It was the main island. And I came down in a shape of a huge bird, almost like an ostrich, but I didn't have anything to compare. So I'm not sure about the size, but big, big bird. And in that session, I was very sad because there was no one else like me. And then I met some birds. There was a big flock of white birds. I was black. I had black feathers, and they were all white. And I felt so different. And until I went and spoke up to them, I don't know what language, you know, just bird-like language, and talked about my story, they didn't pay attention to me. And then they came around me and welcomed me. And it has to do again with communication. But it was interesting because the other aspect of me was waiting for me to come back on the ship. And once I completed my mission, I was able to go back. It was just a fraction of my energy.
I've heard this in response or in reference to a Sasquatch experience. He was aware of a squirrel and then a little chipmunk beside the squirrel, and the squirrel was maintaining conscious presence, contact with the person. And later on, he asked the Sasquatch, "Was that you?" And the Sasquatch replied, "Yes." And the chipmunk, "That was my brother." They're able to adopt different forms in our presence, which makes this a completely different aspect that we don't usually, I think, associate with the people who want to call Sasquatch an ape. And that, I think, is where we're having to go with the rest of our understanding, that everything here is not exactly what it appears to be. We have to start looking at details, I think, and being more present in our own awareness, in our own being, to understand there's so much more going on here if we just take time to step back and not judge, but consider and evaluate a situation before assuming we know exactly what's going on.
I completely agree with you. The presence in the moment, I find, is tremendously important. to be able to open up, to expand the awareness, and to be able to see the signs and whatever we receive. It's so obvious, but only when you're open and present.
There are other people who are talking about a shift, and you also refer to that. You talk about star seeds.
Yes. I'm going to say something bold. I hope the audience will take this with a grain of salt, but in my experience, I've done QHHT for 14 years, and I've seen it in many, many clients' stories. Most of us, the vast majority of us, are coming from stars. I had very few clients that were in their physical form ever on Earth. I had maybe three in 14 years that incarnated in a physical form directly from the source into this physical body. Most of them, and especially because the ones that had ET lives I was able to dig up more, they were shown those lives because they needed to know where they lived. But when I asked, is that home? No. They lived on different other system, planetary system or solar system. It's not just that. They've been traveling and but they all generated from the source. We all came from the source. But our travels, our journeys took us on different planets, different dimensions, different shapes and forms. And nowadays, star seeds that I worked with, they are here and they have certain missions. And some of them, they're not aware of it because they're so ingrained in the 3D. But what's interesting, some of them, they're not bound by karma. So no matter what they do, at night when the soul comes out of the body, they're doing their work. Or even in an unaware state during the day, they're doing the job. So the main missions that I learned about that star seeds have nowadays are either guarding an area on Earth. They are sent there through a job or through a marriage or something that puts them in a certain area, and sometimes they get moved around. They are guardians of those lands. Others are anchors. They are anchoring energy from space, from their own races, into the Earth because the Earth needs that information. The humanity needs that information. Others are stabilizing the ley lines on Earth through their own energies. I found amplifiers. I found catalysts. All kinds of energy processes that are done through the bodies of the star seeds, either they're aware of them or not. That's fascinating to me. And I had a man 14 years ago that couldn't remember anything from his session, and he was one of those. He was a businessman. He was completely shocked when he found out who he is and what he's doing. He couldn't believe it. And he wasn't ready for that information, but still his higher self provided it. And for me to witness it, it was amazing.
When you have someone like that who is completely gobsmacked by whatever it is that they are being given, do they come back later? You know, do they stay in touch and come back and go for round two?
In this particular case, no. We never talked about it again, and it's been 14 years. It's a taboo subject. He's okay. Not ready. But I believe this man has some abilities, but he's not ready to share with the world yet. Other clients will come back. Other clients will discuss it. Others won't. It's a very intimate experience, and I respect and honor my clients' wishes. Some of them allow me to share their sessions. Some don't. So that, of course, I respect again.
Yeah, I was asked when I had my session, you know, is this something you would prefer to remain anonymous, or do you want to share partial pieces of it or all of it? And that is, I think that's respectful of the person, especially when there's something that's so completely outside of your realm of belief that then you have to figure out, how do I deal with this?
Yeah.
A quick break.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack. There's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
QHHT, Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique. Violetta Stoica is a level 3 practitioner.
What is the difference between the levels?
Level 1 is a person who took the basic class, and they have all the tools, and they are ready to practice on someone else. Once you get all the information, you absorb it and you make it into your, you put it into your system so you act naturally with it, you can be a very successful practitioner. I was. I had amazing sessions. I had 35 sessions as a level one until I went to level two. And they were out of this world, some of them. The man I talked about right before, it was one of my sessions. And within the 2 months I came from England from class. The level two is a bit more refining. Doris called it the bag of tricks, just in case someone doesn't or does that, or, you know, different situations that will expand your horizon. And then level three is someone that has a lot of sessions under their belt, and they've learned a lot through their own experience with clients. That shows not only a lot of cases, kind of like a seniority, and we go through a very, like a scrutiny process. They analyze our work, they analyze our sessions, and we have to stay as pure as Dolores wanted us to be, because she actually created this level three while she was alive for the purpose of difficult cases, meaning people that suffer from cancer and they really need the healing. And, you know, there's been a lot of trauma in their lives, and she needed people that are really well prepared to hold space for such people and to know how to navigate a session for the best interest of the client. So it's a purity of technique. It's a commitment. It's a responsibility that we have to keep the technique as Dolores used it.
In some ways, it could be challenging when you're getting information that is ET based or spiritual based or all of that, but there's also a need to address if the person has a serious illness, it's something like cancer. And instead of going out on the limb and chasing the other, but coming back to the here and now, the present of how can we facilitate healing or at least some kind of acceptance that we're dealing with something in the physical and not necessarily the metaphysical in that moment?
Well, I don't think they're that separate, physical and metaphysical, because sometimes the cause of the cancer could be from a different lifetime or a different decision made in the spirit world before they came into the life, or if it was generated in the current life, whatever the client is shown, either a past life or they're shown the current life, which could be more urgent to resolve than to see a past life, then we dive in that. It's not up to me what a client sees. The higher self, the subconscious, how Dolores called it, I call it the higher self, it has that divine knowledge and wisdom, and it knows what the client needs. So when people come for healing, and a lot of people are coming for healing, we don't guide them anywhere else except where the higher self takes them, because that is what they need at that very moment. And we adapt and we follow the higher self of the client. And every time we have a session, whatever the client has shown, it's always related to the client's current circumstances. There are clients that come for curiosity purposes, for example, to know about their soul mission, star legacy, a relationship connection from other worlds, all that. And I had those sessions. And if the person is healthy and they don't need to work on anything in the physical plane, they are shown all they need to know. But it's related to their own questions on the list of questions that they brought to the session. So everything happens for a reason. All the answers are relevant to the clients. It's for them and for their highest good. And it's given according to their vibration. Nobody gets more than they can digest. Dolores used to have a very nice expression. You don't give a baby a steak. You feed them baby food. So up to the frequency, the awareness, and the understanding of each client, the higher self will speak their language at that level. It's a given.
Okay, so let's go back to the guy that had an issue because it was completely beyond his comfort zone. How do you deal with that kind of client?
Well, you know, I explained to him what transpired because he couldn't recall anything. And then he actually gave me feedback that he listened to the session with his wife. And then he asked me, please don't tell anyone, because he was actually a friend and we had so many friends in common. He didn't want them to know. Yeah. And I kept it to myself. I have to honor my client's wishes.
I see where you honor the client, but at the same time, when you're saying that people get no more than they're willing to tolerate or able to tolerate, it sounds like sometimes it's going to push up against a brick wall occasionally. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Well, that is because in their soul contract for the current life, they want to, the soul wanted the human to become aware of their mission. But you know, we have free will. And we can be hard-headed and stubborn and refuse to look that way. And then the higher self will give us all kinds of insights. During dreams, especially, this is the best communication one can get with the higher self while they're, so to say, asleep, like my friend, but he didn't want to believe or know or dig further. But I'm sure he got messages in his sleep, because he's got some abilities that he told me about before the session. So he was seeing in himself things, but you know, he couldn't communicate openly about them because he was afraid he would be labeled crazy.
A lot of it has to do with your social circle, the people who are around you. And so if there's that fear of being ostracized or shamed in that respect, then it's difficult to deal with some of these things publicly. So I completely understand. I just wanted you to address that, because that is one of those hurdles and one of the challenges that when you start dealing with this stuff and delving into it, it helps to have a support system to give you some kind of approval, reassurance that yes, this is okay.
So when my clients reach back to me, I'm more than happy to support them. I love to do that. Actually, I love to see their journey. And I always encourage them as they leave my house, please reach back and tell me how it unfolds for you. And not all of them, less than a half, reach back out to me. As I said, it's an intimate experience. Not all of them are ready to talk, but others are able to share amazing things. And one of the, besides healing, which is like miraculous, what I've seen is time speeds up for them. And so many opportunities are opening up for my clients when they make the changes the higher self advised them to make. That takes them to a whole another level in their lives, all aspects, metaphysical, job, money, health, everything improves when people are following what they've been told. That is tremendously important, but it cannot be forced on clients.
Now back into the ET connection. You've been getting recent information that talks more about the upcoming shift or change or transition. Can you deal with what information you've been told?
Yes. So last summer of 2023, I had a very interesting session with a lot of details. Something similar to what people call the event. It was more to do with the new Earth. It was a split, but her higher self explained it in details to me. She came from Lyra, the constellation, the cat people. She saw herself back home. She had a sister. They were both cat looking like. And something happened to their planet some beings that were negative attacked. I don't remember exactly, maybe half of it burned. Those cat-like people, the Ryrans, and other civilizations from the universe that went through the same trick, they were tricked by this civilization that approached them and said, "We lost our planet, please give us shelter." And they did, and they welcomed them, but they multiplied so much, and when they realized that they were taken over, it was too late. Anyways, now with that gained experience, they are supporting us to not go through the same thing. And the way that ETs are allowed to interfere, because we have free will, it's one of the laws of the universe, they are incarnating. Their souls are coming through babies, through human bodies, into humans. And I've had that in like tens and hundreds of sessions. But in this case, she explained how it's going to go. So we had a glimpse in the future, and I was so grateful to have that presented to me. So they explained it this way. We are watched, closely watched, lovingly by so many civilizations because they're trying to protect us. They're wanting us to not go through the route they took. So they're helping us from the inside through those new souls that are coming from the ET families. And we are watched as a whole. And there's a threshold of frequency or vibration. And once an individual raises their vibration up to that threshold, and this is done consciously or unconsciously, it's up to each individual, then that individual is noticed and taken under close supervision, not supervision, observation. And then they are helped individually for raising their vibration continuously. So once people that are of, how do I call this, service to others and not focused only on themselves, they're not selfish, they're not egocentric or focused solely on the money, on the material, and think of others. They are raising their vibration to that threshold, and then they are being helped to raise even higher. Why is this important? Because when the time will come, this will separate the two, the people with the higher vibration that are interested in helping others as well, not only themselves, will have a higher vibration, and they would be able to see when the ships are coming down to help us, because they talked about kind of like a split where people that are focused on the material things won't have that vibration to pass that threshold, and they will stay. Not necessarily that they're bad or mean or anything, it's just their focus is on material things, while others that are more elevated in vibration will be able to see the ships, and the ships will come close to the earth. They'll be stationed for a few days, and they will pick everyone up that has a certain vibration. But they explained it cannot be faked. You either have it, you are there, or not, and that will make the difference. And then they will pick those people up on the ship, will go next to the earth for a few days, because this is going to be a fast process. They said, we're going to keep them on the ship, people. And while we do the terraforming, because they want to take out most of the human-built structures. I don't want to say flatten the earth, because they didn't use that word. They used terraforming. And they explained they will leave very few structures built by people. The rest will be transformed. And then together with them, the people will come down to earth with the help of AI used only for the betterment of humanity. So the technology will be used in a very positive way. And the ETs and the humans that were saved will come back to Earth and will rebuild a new civilization. And they said they promised a very harmonious, peaceful, beautiful way of living. They didn't give me a time frame. And many times, because time is very slippery, so to say, we don't have the same understanding of the time as them, so I cannot give you a date or a time. But what is my take on this session is they gave us a warning to work on our vibration, on our consciousness, and be open and be present and be willing to help others and to ascend from being only attached to the material world and be preoccupied more of the soul matters and of evolution and understanding and love. Ultimately, love is the highest vibration, love and gratitude. If you want to change your vibration, remember your love and be grateful for what it is in your life. And you raised your vibration right there.
I think your grandmother was in connection with that because she used the term that you had no idea where it came from, Gaia. Yeah. And I think that for her, she already knew how to practice and achieve and attain a higher vibration because she was a healer.
Yes. And she was very generous. She would help anyone. She would give people things that she had. Like, for example, she had a vegetable garden. Every person that came to visit her, they will go home with bags of tomatoes and onions and bell pepper, whatever she cultivated. She freely gave people all she could give.
I'm jealous of that garden, okay?
Me too.
I have to fight the squirrels. I got two, and I have a lot of strawberries, two that they let me have, and that was the end of it. And then the rest of them, they're quite hungry.
Yeah, so you got to share, right? You got to share
yeah,
with them.
They thought that was what I planted it for, was for them. So mm-hmm. I give up. It's like, okay, fine. I can do that. I make sure that the local residents, whether it's an insect or an animal, has something to drink because that's what we're dealing right now with the drought and the heat and all that. So in our area, that's one of the things that I do think is important for bees and mm-hmm. our critters to have some kind of access to water. But, you know, there's so many things going on that I think challenge us to stay present because of the chaos and the upheaval in our world, that it's mm-hmm. really critical to become more aware that each thought has a result. Each issue that we choose to, and I mean choose to worry about, choose to stew over, creates disharmony in our own bodies. And I think going to a session with you, those things are also addressed.
Totally. The higher self will always tell my clients, you are too focused on whatever, work or whatever. You need to be in harmony. Balance and harmony are words that I always hear, and Dolores used to speak them a lot. It's very important we do mental hygiene. This is how I call it. And the higher self is big on thoughts and emotions that don't have the highest vibration for my clients and is actually pinpointing whatever is creating disease, discomfort, disharmony, because this all leads to disease in the end. If people don't take time to be present with their bodies, with their thoughts, with their emotions, this is tremendously important, especially nowadays, as you said. So we need to be aware. And my understanding is we need to be present in the inner landscape and in the outer landscape, like in the world, 3D world, through our own being, because we have a portal inside, we access the astral realms, the higher realms. We get in contact with angels and guardians that are watching over us, our own, and the higher self and the divine. But outside in the world, we need to keep an eye open, but only allow to come inside only what feels harmonious to us.
You mentioned being monitored. And guardians or assistants, teachers, keepers of, they are our keepers. Do you personally?
Dolores named them that, the keepers of the garden.
Yes. I have a couple of her books somewhere. It's just, I was, that, you know, that when she started giving her information out and offering classes and talking more publicly about it, I think that that was one of the things that drew me. It's like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic, the kind of things that she was sharing. Going back to my question, do you have a sense that you have a personal relationship with an ET? I think that's the best term. It doesn't mean they're from another planet, but from an alien or extraterrestrial, I guess, is the language we're stuck with.
Well, in another session, I saw my alien aspect, which is kind of like a humanoid covered in a white suit. And I have a band around my head because I travel alone and I'm an observer that I travel through the universe. That device helps me see behind. So I'm always aware of my surroundings. This is all I know. I'm a feminine being. I'm a traveler and observer, and I travel with my own ship, and I go throughout the universe. Kind of like a loner.
An explorer.
Not in my life.
Explorer. Yes. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're out there looking for others and connecting and communicating. What does your husband do? I mean, is he also connected on that same level?
Oh, totally. So like 14 years ago, after I came for my class, of course, he was very excited to get a session. And guess what? His past life, which we call it past life, we don't know. The time in other dimensions is different, but he saw himself stationed on a station somewhere in the universe. And he was alone, and he was a small gray with three long fingers. And his job was to fix ships that would come and dock and ask for repairs. And he didn't even need to go into the ship. Some holograms will come up from his desk, and with the three fingers, he would like work through those images, and he would fix those ships. Kind of like a parallel to his current life, because he's very technical. He's an IT engineer, but also an introvert. So to me, it was so obvious that it's like a parallel, but he saw himself at that small gray that was kind of sad and lonely. And he wanted to be a pilot of the ship, but the elderly consul said, no, you have skills to be a repairman. And they put him into the school of fixing ships instead of piloting. So both of us have origins in the stars.
I think that's funny. No matter where you are, somebody's going to delegate to you, okay, this is what you're best at. Okay, here, you go there.
Yeah.
That's not, yes. That's so not fair.
Exactly. He was sad about it.
Okay. Well, he kind of, he managed to get another assignment, and that's why he's here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Different one.
And you said that he's the one who said, hey, this is what's going on, and really prodded you and pushed you. With the things that you're doing now, are you finding people who are more interested or more, the vibration is higher? Are you noticing a change?
What I notice is people are waking up at an exponential rate. And I think COVID was a huge trigger because it was less social life and more of an internal exploration, so to speak. And people started watching Dolores or reading books that are on metaphysical topics. And a lot of people are waking up. I get all kinds of levels of clients, from like highly spiritual, and they were immersed like for tens of years in this frequency, to very new people that just discovered Dolores 2 months ago. And they're so excited, and they want to learn more, and they want to find out about their past lives and their trajectory and their history. So I see an upheaval. I think this is amazing what's happening, and I'm so excited. Yeah, this is my perception, more and more people. But there is another aspect that kind of saddens me. Many of my clients are very spiritual, but they don't dare to communicate with any other soul about it. And they are telling me, thank God you exist. I have someone to talk to. And their higher self always urges them to connect with others, to find their tribe, to find their crowd. Don't stay isolated. Don't keep it to yourself. You need to share and exchange information. with your peers, with other human beings that are closer or at that level. So this need of connecting is something that is the higher selves are urging all of us to communicate and connect with like-minded people. It's very important nowadays. Very, very important.
The big change I see from when I started doing a lot of this 20 years and definitely 40 years ago, the access that we have to information via the internet, that wasn't there. So it was really a bigger challenge to find information on this topic. And then if you go into the ETs, the Sasquatch, the fairies, the all the other stuff that goes along with this, ghosts and afterlife, it's mind-boggling the change that we now have in front of us that allows us access. And not only that, if you do a search with AI and say, this is what I want, and this is a topic I want, and how does this relate to another topic, you immediately, within seconds, have that information at your fingertips. So I think what you're saying, exponential growth, exponential, I believe that our environment with having the internet available is giving us that kind of freedom to explore and to connect with others who are also on the same page.
Yes. And my explanation for that is that humanity is ready. That's why it was given to them. It's the frequency collectively we have that we attracted because we opened up and we are now ready to learn about all that.
I think it takes a few years to, when you're searching and you're seeking and you're trying to make sense of all this, to become acclimated and to become conscious of this, the multiple layers and levels that this stuff exists in. Because just having one experience, one epiphany, one opening, that's like putting your toe in the water.
It takes a long time, I agree. You have one epiphany or one dream or one insight or one aha moment. That's not enough. But if you keep at it and if you start paying attention, you know, you can grow very fast.
Absolutely. Even when you have that one epiphany, you can come back and circle it and spiral it. And every time it opens a new wing, it opens a new philosophy, a new view, a new perspective on all of it. And it's just the time that it takes. I know so much from my own growth of having the introduction when somebody told me I was a starseed decades ago. I'm like, what? What? Mm-hmm. You know, how does that relate to my real world? How is this going to help me in my job? What will this do for me? You know, knowing this, it just makes me weird. So I had to get past that. Like I said, that's decades ago. And then finally understanding with my own intuition and my own abilities and my own awareness that, oh, and it just takes year after year, day after day, exposure to other people who share their own insight and say, gosh, that's what I experienced. Wow, I'm not weird. There it is. You find your tribe. You find the things that work. And not only that, I believe you're guided as well. So my own sense is that there is a helpful hand, invisible, prodding you, lifting you, and engaging you with the people that you need to help you on your path.
Totally. The higher self always tells my clients, you're never alone. We are here with you. We are providing information. We are nudging you in the right direction on the path that your soul chose for this current life. We're always helped and loved and cherished for, applauded. We are never alone. We've got tons of helpers.
With Dolores Cannon, if you recommend a book, one, to get somebody started, who's curious, which book would you direct them to?
Well, my favorite of all is The Convoluted Universe, but it's a big book. It has 5 volumes. But for a beginner, I would recommend to start with Waves of Volunteers in the New Earth.
Then you also teach classes. So for someone who wants to learn how to do QHHT.
To become a QHHT practitioner, you first go to qhhtofficial.com and sign up for level 1 online, which is done only online since COVID. And then what I teach is a level one companion class, which is a practical class, and it's open to people that are level one and level two, to hone their skills, to improve, to have a life person to ask questions and to relate. So it's a three-day class. The one I teach all goes through the academy, and it's really easy and very exciting to do.
Now, you also have a website.
I do. My website is www.initiaticjourney.com, and I have a YouTube channel named Violeta Stoica. And I encourage you to go and check it, because I have about 40 videos, and most of them are snippets from my sessions. You get to see how I work. You get to listen to my client's voice. It's fascinating. Plus, you get to feel the vibration that transpired in the session, because the higher self speaks through my client's body. And this is what you're listening to, the vibration of their higher self. Hypnosis is something so natural and so easy to attain. Don't believe in the myth of, I'm sorry to say, how some of the Hollywood movies portrayed hypnosis being something that the hypnotist does everything with you. It's not that. We have free will. If someone says something that contradicts your common sense or your belief system, you come out of the trance. So we are very guarded while in hypnosis, because we have the higher self and all the guardians and all the angels that are watching over us. So this is a beautiful experience. I encourage anyone to try it. It's so beautiful to learn something about your soul in other dimensions, other journeys, other families, jobs, planets. It's so exciting to see.
I appreciate your information. I think this is an exciting time. We are undergoing some significant and transformative events that are going to change us in ways we cannot believe. And I think you're part of that. So thank you.
And thank you so much for having me here. It was a pleasure and an honor to share all this knowledge with everyone here. Thank you for listening.
Links are in the description for the show. And a final word.
So many opportunities are opening up for my clients when they make the changes the higher self advised them to make.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.